Blog Talk Radio.
It's January 1st. It's New Year's Day 2013. Can you believe it? And this is Foxology. I'm your host, Silver Ray Fox. Happy New Year, everybody, and welcome to this special kickoff of Foxology. What a way for me to start the year off. And I know that a lot of you have goals, too, and I wish all of you the best at achieving them. And of course, I'm wishing you many, many other blessings as well, and encouraging you to keep those expectations high, because I believe that the best is yet to come. And I'm hoping that you will be with me as Foxology rolls out this year as well. My plans are to bring you interesting topics of conversation, to talk to lots of interesting people, to talk to them about the things that they're doing, and also we're going to learn a lot of helpful, inspiring, empowering information that I'm hoping will help all of us be more in the know, and that will help us grow together. That's my goal, and I'm sticking with it. And speaking of goals, today we're going to be talking about New Year's resolutions, the ones you make, the ones you break. So I've decided that we're going to be asking the question, do resolutions really work? I'm going to be having two fabulous guests who will be talking with me about just that in a little bit. And we're going to see what you think. I want to know. I'm going to see what they think. I'm going to see what you think. And I want to know, do you think they work? You know, have you made them in the past and you've got tried and true results and testimonies that they really do indeed work? I really want to know what you think. I had one of my FB friends last night put up a post that said a New Year's resolution is something that goes in one ear and out the other. I thought that was a wonderful take on that phrase. So we'll be talking about that. But you know, I had a little time this morning, and something that I did was browse around the internet to see what kinds of things were being talked about. And I ran across the Forbes website, and I really liked what they said about the top 10 resolutions that the most successful people make. And that was by Mike Madoff, one of their contributors for Forbes magazine. And one of the things he said to do was spend more time on the not-to-do list. How about that? I really did like that. There's a lot of stuff on any given day that a lot of us do and spend too much time on that he felt that we should just kind of kick those things off the list and pay attention to the more important things that are going to take us to another level. And then another thing he said was look at the essential things first. How many of us get a run into our email and our Facebook accounts? Well, he doesn't think that those are the things that are essential. Again, focus on the things that are going to take you to your goals. And another thing that was mentioned was resolve to find your purpose. And you know, I really love that, because I believe that so many of us really want to find that element, that place, that career, that job, that pathway where we feel we're at our absolute best. So that's worth spending today and the next few days, or perhaps all month, trying to figure out, really, what is it should I be doing? What is it that I would really like to be doing most? And then his number 8 was resolve to get outside your jar. And I love that too. Push past your limits, stretch yourself, really try to learn, grow, be more, do more, and all of that. And I also looked around just at several other websites, and they were talking about some of the more common resolutions, like drink less alcohol. I bet a lot of people are feeling like that this morning after last night. And, of course, eating healthy, getting a better job, getting fit, losing weight, managing money better, those kinds of things were on the list. And quit smoking, save more money, manage your money better, all of those kinds of things were mentioned. Some of the common things Also saw Martha Beck says one of the ways to success, I got that on Oprah.com this morning. Martha Beck is so clever and insightful about the things she writes. She says if we want to get something done, don't hang with the people that you normally do that think just like you, that are going to fall off the wagon just like you. Find people who are acting and thinking and doing in the ways that are successful and align yourself with them. And she said those are usually going to be people that you don't know, but establish a fellowship with them for success. I thought that was really great too. Well, while we're talking about it, I guess I'll tell you another one of my resolutions. Yep, I'm going to tell you. I am vowing to change my popcorn habits. Yes, I am a popcorn fanatic, an addict, a junkie. I love popcorn so much. And I think there's probably only one other person who loves popcorn more than me. Just saying, I don't know, but you're going to meet her in just a few minutes. But, yes, I am reducing my intake of popcorn this year permanently. And the way I figure it, by the end of 2013, listen to this, I will have saved myself a minimum of 116,800 calories, 240,900 milligrams of sodium, and 6,862 fat grams. Well, that all translates out to about 30 to 33 pounds, which I really don't need to lose. 5 would be okay after all of this holiday nonsense. But can you believe that? Don't judge me, people. Don't judge me. So if you happen to run into me and I don't look my normal self, if I look a little snarly or something, just offer me your hand, me one kernel of popcorn, just one. Just one. And that should probably do the trick. Okay, enough of that nonsense. I'm only partially kidding. I'm giving up the popcorn, but don't give me any if you happen to see me. I have two wonderful people in waiting that we are going to be talking with today, and I'm just so excited. You know, you can only ask your great friends, your special friends, your real friends to hang out with you to do something like this on a holiday, and I'm just anxious for you all to meet them. We're going to be talking about, do resolutions really work? One of my first guests is Cassandra McShepherd. She is a TV co-host on Fox 6's Smash Morning Show, Real Milwaukee. And she's one of the most multi-talented people that I have ever known. She's a fashion designer. She's a motivational speaker. She's a spokesperson, life coach, fitness trainer, artist. And if you ask her, she's just going to say, well, I'm just a girl. Well, she's just a fabulous, amazing, and phenomenal girl. That's all I can say. Welcome to Foxology, Cassandra.
Thank you very much, Silver. Now, you forgot to say that I'm also a jazz vocalist, and yes, I'm just a girl.
How did I forget that?
Oh, my God. But I'm still just a girl. Just a singing, speaking, coaching, a girl that's just really just living life to the loudest degree. I'm doing everything that I can before they stop me.
I know, and you are one of the most phenomenal jazz vocalists that I've ever heard. You have such a wonderful gift. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today. You know I love before. My other guest, well, he is just one of the best speakers that I have ever heard. He keynotes, he teaches, he inspires, he motivates. He will take you to another level on thinking, living, and working positively. He's the author of Work Makes Me Sick. I know that sounds funny, and it is a kind of a humorous take on our 9-to-5s, but he has also shown up today to help launch Foxology, and I just appreciate him so much. Welcome, Jeff.
Happy New Year,
Jeff.
Happy New Year,
well,
Cassandra.
Well, thank you.
Happy New Year to you as well.
Thank you. I am so pleased to be with you this morning.
I am so excited to have both of you with me. You know, I've been pondering a few things on my resolution list. I told you my biggest one, which is I'm tackling that, and that's just the way it is. But I bet you guys have a few things maybe that you've been thinking about as well that's on your list, and you're checking it twice. How about you, Cassandra?
For me, Silver, I jokingly said just this morning on the show that I do that I am too terribly flawed to wait until one day specifically to begin to check and correct myself. I said that jokingly, and I think the truth is all of us have issues, that being the reason that we take the time to take a look at ourselves. Instead of doing specific goals as they are outlined to quit doing this, to do more of that, I am always seeking a greater sense of who Cassandra is and why she does what she does, because the reality about change, challenging as it might be, it is impossible if you are not aware of your motivating triggers and have a plan to do something different when those triggers that obviously are, you know, knocking at your door, pulling at you or stressing you out, come a knocking, pulling, or stressing. If you don't understand what they are and have some other set of action steps in place, you are going to habitually do as you've always done.
I know that to be true, and I think you said all that to say is that, yes, I do have goals. I'm working on them all the time.
but the greatest goal is further understanding of myself.
Yes, that's a great one. You know, and I'm thinking that there probably are a lot of people who have that on their list to do some introspection. That's what today often does for a lot of people. Take a look at yourself, see what can you do to be more and grow. And I think probably one of the hardest things in all of that is putting it into an action plan. It's easy for all of us to what we want to do, what we should do, what we could do. But very often it's really hard to put that into an action plan. And Jeff, you have written a wonderful article that I really love that really, I think, goes to some real great, it's simple, but I think it really shares some profound insights on how to get it out of your head and into action.
Well, Cassandra really hit the nail on the head when she said it, you know, we have to be aware of our habits. Who is it? Socrates said, know thyself, and really know your habits. Anthony Robbins is quoted as saying, you know, either you make your habits or your habits make you. Well, most of us just keep going around, well, that's just the way that I am. Well, those are the habits you made for yourself.
Yes.
You know, so that's the reason I make my lists every year, because I want to bring about some change, but I need to see myself with those changes rather than see myself as I am and going towards those change.
Can you share anything that was on your list for 2013?
Oh, sure. For example, this last year I wrote finished two books that I've been working on actually for years, so that was a real accomplishment. So next year I want to have them published, and actually I found a publisher for one of my e-books that I'm going to talk to tomorrow and get that started, so I should have that done in roughly a month. So.
Well, good luck with that, Jeff. That's a great goal. And I tell you, it's just been more recently that I'm realizing that people start books, get halfway through or almost finished, and they put it aside, and then it's sometimes months or even years later before they get to them, because I'm guilty of that as well. And it's also on my list of things to accomplish this year is to get those knocked out and on my website and ready for download. So I'm not in a category all by myself. I don't think I looked at myself and I thought, this isn't procrastination. This is just, you got to kind of savor it a little bit more. There's more that you know that's inside your heart and your head that needs to go there, so you got to put it there. And then there's that whole timing element of it as well, which I think is an important thing for people to realize as they are approaching things that they have in mind to accomplish this year as well. But that's wonderful. I wish you the best of success with that. You've been a guy
right
who,
about that.
I know, makes things happen.
You know, one of the binders, I put my things in binders, and one of the binders, the second book that I finished, I started in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but life is filled with distractions. Or
it
as the movie
is.
Up, the cartoon movie Up says, squirrels.
Mm-hmm. Cassandra, were you going to say something?
Oh, no, I just chuckled at that. But what I'm thinking as I listen to both of you speak and at starting and stopping points or starting and points of completion is I think that especially creative things that I am doing tend to have legs and lives of their own. And oftentimes they come to a state of completion long after the desired date that I had in mind. But there's, you know, I mean, because if there's more information or there's other things. And then, again, part of the creative process is that you recognize that this is done, that this piece has come to a completion. And more information will be, Jeff, for the third book.
In some of my workshops on goals, I always say set your goal in stone and your deadline in pencil.
Right, right.
But what do you think happens to us? You know, the question of the day is, do resolutions really work? What do you think happens to us? We talked a little bit just now about distractions, and, you know, I don't like that word procrastination, but I know it's a real one. But what do you think is swirling around in our heads? Because there, I bet both of you, like me, could think of things that if you just spent maybe another couple of weeks or a month or a couple months on it, it would be done, out of the way, and accomplished. What do you think makes us fall off the wagon, if you will, after a couple of months from today?
Well, when I think about that, I go back to what I said initially. A lot of us on today are making noise called resolutions. And they are things that we think is a good idea. They sound like a good idea. They are on the popular list of noise or resolutions to make without any real connection or commitment or information as to what it is that they need to change, why they want to make the change, or how to make the change. It's not necessarily that you decide on any given day, especially a prescribed day, that you will make a change. It's almost when you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, or whatever state that you are in, or when you are aptly motivated to really want a different result, because motivation is key. Then you've got to identify sometimes not only what it is that you want, but what it is that you no longer want working in your life. And as I said before, you got to have a plan. You might not always know what to do, but you need to outline what you have been doing that you will no longer do. So it's a real, it's not a fly-by-night easy thing. It's a very conscious and ongoing decision to grow or to make changes to get beyond your current thinking or information is a conscious thing. And the degree to which I've talked about it is not often the degree to which it is thought about, which is why they typically don't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And everything that you talked about is really a cost to bring it about, that change.
Mm-hmm.
And why most people don't complete the resolutions is because the cost outweighs the benefits. You know, I have a friend who annually belongs to, I won't name the health club, but it's a health club, and he takes off from January through Valentine's Day. Because
yes.
All these people go out, they buy their new outfits, and they want to look good, and they go and they try this and they try that, and
right.
They're doing, oh yeah, they're doing that, the place is really crowded, and then those people go home at night and go to bed, but they're feeling really good. They say, oh, this is excellent. But they wake up in the morning, and it hurts to open their eyes.
Uh-huh.
You know, because they've done something their body isn't used to doing.
And it's making you pay. And the body's
right.
going to make you suffer.
That's right. That's part of the cost. And their
yeah.
focus then goes, their focus goes on their cost rather than the benefits.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know, one of the things, Jeff, that you say in your article, New Year's Resolutions Usually Don't Work, you say the reason that we fall off is because change is so hard. And I know that you've got something that's really simple that kind of illustrates that for people, too.
Oh, absolutely. and I call it my thumbs up formula for change. And it's, you know, you fold your hands and you put them on your lap, and you look down and you see what thumb is on top. And if we weren't holding the phones, I'd ask you both to do that. If you have headsets on, go ahead and do it. But typically it's right or left, and I ask, well, which one's correct? And they say, well, my way is correct, and that's it. And it's not because you're right-handed or left-handed. It's simply because that's the way you fold your hands. Then I ask them to unfold their hands while looking at them, and then adjust their hands so their fingers intertwine the other way, so their thumb, the other thumb is now on top. And then I always ask the audience, you know, now how does that feel? And I get everything from, oh, my God, awkward, uncomfortable is the most popular, and that's it. You know, so the thumbs up formula for change is you have to become conscious, because we do it automatically. We fold our hands automatically, so we have to be consciously aware of the new result, consciously aware of the new actions, which is exactly what Cassandra's talking about, and then be willing to feel uncomfortable because we know the benefits. But most folks don't know and understand what that benefits list is all about.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I like that thumbs up change. Let's talk about those suggestions right now. Your first one says that you have to be consciously aware of what you want for a new desired result. Well, you know, a lot of us write that down, you know, or we will definitely put up a little vision board or, you know, something to keep us in a reminder mode. And you also say make it clear and specific. Are there other things that when you say that you think will help us? There are going to be people who really, they want to save more money. There are going to be people who really do earnestly want to get fit this week, this year, and lose weight. So what that we say besides lose 40 pounds or save $1,500 or... What is it that will actually help some of that come into fruition?
Well, part of it is that, you know, you use the phrase, so many people want to lose weight, want to stop smoking. Our brain doesn't work in negatives. We think in pictures. Now, who was your favorite elementary school teacher? From Cassandra, who was yours?
Oh, Mrs. Daniels.
All right, you saw a picture of her first before you thought of her name.
Yes.
So we think in pictures. So when you say lose weight, our brain can think of us as losing weight. So it just thinks about weight all the time. And when you say quit smoking, it thinks about smoking. It doesn't think about quit smoking. So we need to phrase it in a positive language. For example, if you want to weigh 150 pounds versus losing 20 pounds. So, or as I want to be smoke free, because that's a picture that we can see yourself without having a cigarette. But quitting, how do you picture yourself quitting? So language
becomes
part of it. And then create those pictures, as you say, like, you know, have your boards up, have your pictures up, have your reminders around. I laminate my goals on 3x5 cards, and I carry them, I put them in my paperbacks that I'm reading, they're in my daytimer, they're in my car, they're in the bath, in the shower, so that, you know, they're in front of me all the time, because what's the old saying? Out of mind, out of
mm-hmm.
out of sight, out of mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we need
you
to
know what,
keep
but,
ourselves.
But I say also, in addition to that, it's a mental equivalent. I believe that the answer to everything that we could dream or desire is yes, or sure, why not? But if we can't, as you say, Jeff, visualize, if we can't know and embody that for ourselves, then opportunity just passed us by. And we think, well, the person sitting next to me always gets all the breaks. But maybe that person sees and recognizes him or herself in those seemingly lucky situations by letting your eyes land on something. It's not a shock to you when that appears in your life as an opportunity. And so psychologically or emotionally, you don't repel it as something that you can't even conceive of for yourself. You have instead a mental equivalent, and you recognize yourself in that new job or with the or 30 pounds lighter or smoke free or in a loving relationship or in a new car or whatever it is that you have. And I think that a lot of times, as a matter of fact, my life bears out that it is seemingly mystical, but it really is not any deeper than just writing a thing out and teaching myself to know it as my reality. And the universe, without fail, rushes to accommodate what I know to be so in my mind.
Oh, you are so right, Cassandra. Yes.
I really like what you just said because it reminds me of something I heard someone say a couple of years ago. You made the reference, Cassandra, that looking at other people and wondering why they're so lucky. I can recall someone saying, well, they're believing more than you. They're working at it more than you. They're seeing their vision and trying to make it happen more than you. You don't have to wonder, you know, why it's happening for them. It's not just happening. They're making it happen. And so that's really, really the key. The second thing you have, Jeff, and I know Cassandra and I have the most awesome conversations when we talk to each other on the phone, and that whole consciousness is such an important part of it. I know that I have meditations and I have mantras and I know that I write things down. And your second thing, Jeff, says that we have to be consciously aware of what new and different actions we have to take. And as I think about meditations, mantras, and writing things down, those are my reminders. Those are my enforcers. Those are the things that remind me of the empowerment levels that I would like to go to. So, Cassandra, I know that you are a faithful journalist. Do you also record what you're looking at doing?
I do in the form of journal, but I do also in this way. I think about you. Think about a guest in your home or in your space. And if they are someone that you want to come back, all right? So you honor them and you entertain them. And I think about dreams and desires and visions as honored guests that I want making a repeat visit to me. And so by writing things down, my inspirations, those thoughts, those things given to me in spirit, by writing them down, I am entertaining them. I am honoring them. I am taking the time to articulate them, which is giving them an opportunity to grow, become something more than passing in my mind. And so while I might write about the fact that so-and-so ticked me off on a certain day or a situation was not as I wanted it to be, I will acknowledge that because this is real. This is not about, you know, a fantastic everything is la-di-da cute concept, but it's not always that way. I'll acknowledge what's not right, but I will always design it, write it, co-create it in a way that I want it to be. It's completely harmless. But what I have done psychologically is created a space for my mind to shift from the negative thinking, the thinking and focusing on what is not happening, who did what, who did not do what, and creating a creative space for me to be. So, yes, I write them down. I think it's critical, but also as a way of honoring them and growing them.
That sounds beautiful.
And it helps you then to focus because most of us focus on, you know, we get to bed at night, we think, oh, gosh, I didn't get this done. And that's why doing a success log helps you to focus on the positives that have entered your life before you go to bed. So controlling what you think is it's not an easy thing. The concept is simple, but it takes practice and able to do that. You know, so what I talk about in the first book that I finished this year was focus your attention on your intention. But it's so easy to focus on the distractions, on the speed bumps, on the things that get in the way you know, rather than what do I really want? And
and
it gets down to, you know, expectation and belief and desire versus just wanting. Wanting is intellectual. Those others are emotional. You need to tie into your emotions.
I think you were probably the first speaker that I actually heard say that. I know that's one that gets thrown out there a lot, but to focus your attention on your intentions, and I love that. That just is a very poignant thought to hold on. Thirdly, Jeff, you say in your article, and this is the one I think that kicks everybody off their wagon, you have to be willing to be uncomfortable.
Oh,
I imagine that if you've decided that you want to lose weight and your neighbor, your best bud, likes chocolate cakes, likes baking, likes having to go out to eat, you know, that's totally going to work against you. And saying no to all of that doesn't feel all of that good.
Oh,
you know?
Is that chuckling that I'm hearing? Is that a chocolate cake chuckle?
No, you know what? No, I'm sorry. Silver knows that I've got just a wicked sense of humor. When you say that you've got to be willing to be uncomfortable, I think to myself, a girdle and 4-inch heels, hello. I mean, really. No, seriously. And what it takes to be willing to be uncomfortable is something that we are not often, we wouldn't necessarily sign up for. But the reality is many of us are aliens inside of ourselves. We feel as though we are imprisoned in this shell that does not portray how fierce we think we really are. You know? But I think about, again, all that it takes to be a girl, especially a fluffy girl, and all the garb, the girdle, the heels, and all of that. Yeah, I will spend some time in the gym because that's not comfortable either. And the greatest sense of self is really being at home within the frame that you've got. Another thing that I've noticed about that, though, is whenever I'm on the path to growing past where I am, in other words, when I'm working out, long before I've seen any change, I am psychologically so much better knowing that I'm part of the process versus cursing the problem.
Hmm. That's good.
On yourself and what art and where you want to be, instead of what do I have to do to get there?
Right. Yeah. And it's just not always going to feel that special. If it was, everybody would be doing it if it was easy, right?
That's right.
Yeah, but,
that's
yeah,
right.
But what does? Yeah.
We all get up in the morning.
Yeah.
So why don't we just make the choice? And you said it earlier, it's a decision. Why don't we make the decision to take this path today instead of the old path, which I take every day?
But that's why this is not for kids. This is grown-up business. Because you really got to understand where you are, why it doesn't work for you, and have a real sincere desire at any cost to do something else. I think about when I made a transition from the San Francisco Bay Area. I waited and I lingered because who would ever want to leave that place? But but it was time. It was time to go. And I waited until I didn't know where I was going into, didn't know what I was going to do, but I just knew it was the frying pan, and I had the feeling of jumping into the flame. I knew that I had to get out of the frying pan, and turned out that I jumped into a greater set of circumstances, but I did not know that at the time. But sometimes it's the just being done and over where you are, if you can at least tap into that. And also, Jeff, I'm sure you would agree with me as well as you, Silver, you can't really make change without information. Otherwise, what are you doing?
That's right. Yeah, I mean, because then you're going in blindly. You need to be able to see yourself with the end result. And that takes information, that takes study, that takes, as you said, knowing yourself, knowing, all right, this is what's getting in the way so far, so I need to see myself without that or doing something differently, and then I can see that new result, or I can see myself in that new car, or I can see myself in that new home, or I can see myself in that new job.
Some people can't grow because they're trifling. But you don't have to be trifling. Come on. Let's see yourself as effective and productive. You know, a lot of times some people are just showing up as trifling because that's what somebody said about them. And they didn't argue the point. They didn't decide for themselves.
Well,
that is not me. That is what you say about me. I do not let you define me.
Oh, that's right. But who typically is our worst critic?
Yes.
Ourselves.
Ourselves.
Yeah. And we need to get over that. And that's why we need to be looking at the good stuff that we do, the positive stuff
that we
accomplish in life.
But
which brings
that's
us
another
to,
vote
I'm
for
sorry.
Writing things down. That's another vote for writing things down, though.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you take the time to be with you, and if you see that you are doing that to yourself, you have an opportunity to see where you can correct, where you can love yourself, and to hear those thoughts in your head. If you put them on paper and you really then question yourself, am I really this worthless? I don't think that anybody would condemn themselves continuously like that and support that. I just don't think that. But you don't even necessarily hear what you're thinking or know what you're thinking unless you check yourself in that way. And it's a loving process. It's a loving process.
And that part of that process is becoming conscious. Instead of just running on automatic, you have to be conscious of, wait a minute, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I doing that? What am I doing? And then what's causing me to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I like what you say in your number four, Jeff. You say you have to be consciously aware of what the benefits are for creating this new positive image in your life. And then I like what you say next because it so relates to what we were just saying. And you say create one page list. Now, you know that there's probably 20, 25 lines on most pages. But you say fill up that page with all of the benefits. And can you imagine if you really do want to do some of the more common things like losing weight, and if it's significant or even if it's a little bit. Some people do only want to lose 5, 10 pounds. Some people want to lose 105 and 110 pounds. Imagine the levels of pride and self-esteem and how you feel better in your clothes and how you feel more socially connected and youthful, energetic, all of those things. So there's a long list of things that are common sense things, but things that are very personal to an individual as well. So I really like that you say, you know, make a full page list of what those benefits can be. And certainly with any of those things, the saving money, you know, having more money for Christmas time, or that down payment on that home, or taking that trip that you've always dreamed of. There are benefits. There are wonderful benefits that we can write down, put it out in front of us, read it daily to remind us, yes, what you are doing is more than worth the effort.
Mm-hmm.
And the benefits go beyond just that initial achievement. You know, the long term. You know, there's short term benefits, but there's also long term benefits for everything that we accomplish. And really becoming conscious of that and learning to focus your attention on those things.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that you'll have when you achieve your goal. So you don't have to see it way out there. You see yourself having these things, having the benefits.
Yes, I think where we have to get past on days like today when we ask, do resolutions really work, is saying it sounds good. It sounds good to think about having a bigger bank account and more savings in it. It sounds good to think of myself as more fit and thinner and being a non-smoker and, finding a new job and finding a wonderful relationship and all of those things. They sound good. And we've got to get past that place where it just sounds good and it makes us feel good when we say it, to actually putting in some concrete steps to make that happen for us. And so that's why I like your plan, your thumbs up formula for change. That's why I really like it.
We don't need a 17-step plan. We need one or two things, because those initial changes are going to be difficult. So just do one or two, and then you know, like in a, you know, I used to watch football games when they had marching bands, but they have a huddle between plays. Well, what are they doing in that huddle? They're saying, all right, where were we at? Where did we get?
Yes.
They're analyzing, then they're motivating. and they're also figuring out what's my next step. So, you know, plan two steps, three at the most, and then when you get there, plan two or three more.
Mm-hmm.
Do a huddle with yourself, and then plan two or three more. So that you, because all of a sudden, that if you've got 17 to 26, 27 steps, all of a sudden that change is going, oh, my God, how can I do that? Oh, my God.
Yes. Yes. Well, you actually answered, both of you have answered the question that I posed today. Do resolutions really work? Of course they do. Of course they can. It takes a very conscious effort. It takes making a plan. It takes sticking to it. It takes all of those things. And certainly when we sound off about it, we want to make sure that we are taking the common sense, practical steps to get us exactly where we want to go, so that we're not, like I said, the Facebook friend that I have, that it comes in one year and out the other. We want to make sure that at the end of the year we have literally a list of our achievements and our accomplishments. And I guess it should be said, too, sometimes those things change. Sometimes, and we're certainly at liberty, we have the freedom and permission to take anything off that list that we no longer desire as well. We don't have to put ourselves into a lockdown mode on anything or make ourselves prisoners to it or feel like a failure if we didn't accomplish it. Maybe it just wasn't the right focus or right timing, like we talked about a little bit earlier. But all in all, we know that it does take a nice, well put together plan. I want to reflect a little bit on what I think I've heard you both say, so that people can take away something that, again, sounds pretty succinct and tight for them to use after day. One of the things is make it real. Just really make it real in your mind. You know, have a real picture. Make it something that you know is doable, attainable. If you need to lose 100 pounds, start with 5. If you're trying to save money and you never have, start with $5, $20 and put that into a savings account. Don't try to, you know, take half your paycheck and put that in there knowing that you won't know how to figure out the rest of the month as a result. But start in little baby steps. Secondly, Cassandra, you said something I thought was really wonderful and profound, and that was design it. It's not just something that you're doing in that moment or today. Design it. There's a whole picture. There's a whole purpose. There's a reality of why you're doing what you're doing. So design it as a part and a purpose within your life. And then it may not feel good. Do it anyway. Make the right choice, because we know that in the end it really does matter. And fourth, the benefits are always going to outweigh all that hard work and effort that we have put into reaching and attaining those goals. And I put down as a fifth thing to keep a record of the successes, to remind yourself, I lost 2 pounds this week, or I've got $100 in my account now, or I've sent out 5 resumes this month. Something to remind yourself that you are doing what you set out to do. Either one of you want to add anything that I may have missed?
One of the things that I know is critical when you are trying to grow past where you are, you've got to be forgiving and supportive to yourself. You really have to build in, and this does not have to do with a lack of accountability, but you really have to build in some life happens leeway for yourself. I think about, I started calling myself an athlete 30 years ago. I haven't worked out in 2 months, but I'm still an athlete, because an athlete's always work out. I'll get back to it, but I forgive myself. It's been a busy, hectic, crazy 2 months, but because I am an athlete, I will get back to it. Working out is what I do, and I forgive me, because I certainly don't want to take a body that I am loathing to a gym and do anything that supports it. So we've got to be patient and forgiving with ourselves and believe past where we are at any given time to something better.
I love that, Cassandra, because that just smashes the question, what's the point now? The people who get to that, what's the point in doing it now? Well, because you've designated that for yourself, you designed it, you said it, so you know that's who you are. So do it and get there. Absolutely.
And
what
let's be real,
you,
when it's something fabulous so you can talk about it. What's the point in doing it and succeeding? So I can tell people about it.
And,
go on.
And you're
we'd
absolutely,
like to do that.
And that helps you go beyond that worst critic, you know, concept.
Yeah.
You know, being your own worst critic by forgiving yourself and saying, oh, you know, I tried that before. Well, you know, okay, but maybe you didn't have the right steps in place, and now you do. So let's go beyond. And that goes, what I want to say is focus your attention on your intention. You know, keep your focus, because life is filled with life. Life is filled with distractions. Life is filled with bright, shiny things. You know, and we tend to go and focus on those things instead of what's important to us. What do I intend to make happen in my life? And when we can focus on that, you can accomplish so much more.
Well, it sounds wonderful, wonderful. I tell you, I am truly focused on not making any more popcorn today.
I heard you talk about that, Silver, as you were opening this wonderful show, and thank you so much for the opportunity to share with you and to share with your listeners. And Jeff, good to talk to you again. But
awesome,
I thought to myself, what is so wrong with popcorn? I love popcorn. And I'm not. What did popcorn do to you? There's so many other things that people could be focused on. Leave the popcorn alone, please.
I knew that's what you would say, but I had
you
to confess to everybody that I'm a popcorn junkie. It's bad. So, you know, anytime where you could replace popcorn with any meal, breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and sometimes in one day, just because you love it that much, it's time to get a new attitude. And thank Patti LaBelle as I play that song in the beginning. It's time to refocus on that. There are a lot of other things I enjoy eating, really a lot more. I'm just addicted, so I'm changing that. I'm just changing it. But I you know,
more
I don't want to be 30 pounds
no
thinner,
problem.
But
more popcorn for me.
I did mention in that intro, I don't know if you had heard it at the time, I said, I think there's only one person that's a bigger junkie than me, and you'll meet her.
Oh, yeah. That would be me. That would be me.
So popcorn junkies don't take my...
I'm going to set goals that I can keep. Popcorn, I'd be lying.
Cassandra, I hope I'm not. I'm going to have to take Martha Beck's advice on that one. See, I can't talk to you about popcorn anymore.
No, you can't.
I'm going to have to
be like,
talk to somebody who hates it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, I do appreciate both of you so very much. Cassandra, I want both of you just to tell people a little bit about where to reach you on your websites and how to follow you on social media before I let you go. And I think, please remind people, they can watch your show live, too. You don't have to be in town anymore to make that happen. So
that
share
is true.
That. And then Jeff,
the
and then Jeff
show
I'd like
is...
for you to same thing.
Okay. The show is called Real Milwaukee, and if you are in the Milwaukee, Wisconsin listening area, it's Fox 6. However, we do stream live. You can log on to realmilwaukeenow.com, and we are 9 a.m. until 10. I also have a website, which is Cassandra McShepherd, CassandraMcShepherd.com. It is our website where you can listen to my jukebox. I've got numerous, I call them talking head videos, a YouTube channel called Cassandra McShepherd TV, where I talk about what I know so far, and they are video shorts, 2 to 3 minute motivational pieces of what I've learned since I'm still breathing. And I believe that if you know anything, the only purpose is to tell somebody. And so it's just a collection of things ever growing of what I know so far. What else? Anything other than that, I don't know. Google me, Cassandra McShepherd, and I'm out there. I have a wonderful manager who makes sure that anything that I say that is noteworthy gets noted. So there you have it.
Absolutely. And you you are just doing such a fabulous job at everything that you're doing. I loved your holiday special, so that's something, too, if people are interested, they could take a look at that, too, on your website. Jeff?
Well, I just wanted to say about Cassandra, not only have I heard her vocally, and just one of the finest voices I've heard, but also, you know, I watch her show regularly. Like this morning, I'm certain she's, when we leave here, she's going to go out to the Polar Bear Club and join them in the Polar Bear Club. talking about that this
Wrong.
Morning on her show.
Yeah, this is for people that have sense enough not to know, is a plunge into Lake Michigan,
ice covered
in
Lake
your drawers. Or your birthday suit, or little or nothing but some shoes, why would I do that? See, if I can't answer
the question. I have no idea.
Jeff, come on, admit it. Have you ever thought about it?
I never have, no. And I'm a swimmer. I love swimming. I just don't like being cold.
Yeah, well, I think sensible swimmers aren't out there today. Yeah, no.
So ice cold water isn't appealing to you, huh?
No, I'd much rather, no. I'd much rather be in a hot tub.
Yeah. In a hot place.
Yes.
There you go. Jeff, tell people about your website.
Well, my website is www.perc-ent.com, short for Percival Enterprises. But remember, the dash comes after the C. And it'll enable you to take a look at what I do. I specialize, I'm a salesman. I specialize in assessment tools. I also do speaking and training. And you can also buy the two books that I've currently written off the website. Now, the new ebook, which is going to come out in a month, you can just go onto yahoo.com or Barnes & Noble, and you'll be able to get your Nook version or your tablet version straight from those websites. So I'm very excited about that, and that'll be available in 1 month.
Awesome. Well, I cannot thank you both enough. I did not tell everybody that not only was I talking to fabulous guests, that I was talking to friends. We've all worked together. Cassandra and I have actually co-hosted a radio show together. But this was just wonderful to have you all join me today to help me with the launch of Foxology on Blog Talk Radio. And the conversation has just been so insightful and so terrific.
Well,
thank you.
Well, excuse me 1 second. Can I flip the script on you? Is there anything that the wonderful listeners need to know about Foxology?
Oh, well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Going forward, Foxology is actually going to air Mondays at 10:30 EST as a 30-minute broadcast. It's usually going to be a 30-minute format. And also, of course, they can follow me on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on Twitter. I have a website blog, www.silverrayfox.com. In fact, I just wrote a New Year's article entitled Let It Go for Stuff We Need to Really Dump, and I think it's a good article, so I want to encourage listeners to go there and check that out as well. But, yeah, stay with me through the year as I bring even more exciting guests, and Cassandra and Jeff will join me again from time to time to bring more empowering life coaching information that is designed to help us all, again, be in the know and grow together. That is a Foxology commitment and goal. I love the fact of being on radio so that I can share my message, so that I can follow my mission of having people have information that's going to be helpful to them, not only in their personal lives, but their professional lives and in their head and in their hearts. So that's what we're going to be doing over the next few weeks and months, and I am truly, truly excited about it. Thank you guys so much again for taking time out of your holiday to be with me. Love you both. God bless you both. Listeners, I wish you the bestest and the most blessed day and new year. Thank you for being with me today. Have an awesome year. Thanks for listening.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.